The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Backstory. Let's Hear It on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSSBR Lee with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. Thanks for tuning in. So today we have with us Pastor Connie Harris of Price Memorial AME Zion Church in Pittsfield. And Pastor Connie has been at the helm of Price Memorial for quite a few years now, and she's going to talk to us about that. But in her day job by trade, she's actually a registered nurse. So, you know, she also has that going for her as well. And so, you know, Pastor Connie, during her tenure, she has really expanded community collaborations throughout Pittsfield and the Berkshires. And she has also started the Feed Thy Neighbor ministry, which began 7 years ago at the church's former location. So we're going to get into all of that. But Pastor Connie, I just wanted to officially welcome you to Backstory. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, Roberta, for inviting me to be a part of this. I'm so excited.
Great. So you know what? You are one, a very, very busy woman. And, you know, I think there's so much happening, but I always like to center my guests by taking it back a little bit. So before we get into the busyness of who you are today, let's take a walk back in time and let's talk about your background for a little bit. Are your roots in the Berkshires?
They are. Yes. I was born and raised here in Pittsfield. My family is from Pittsfield for as far back as I know.
Oh.
And I've spent the majority of my life here, with the exception of about 10 years. I moved down south in my early 20s for about 10 years, where I met my husband. And we decided, after several years of being together down there, moving back up north, so we could be closer to family. Mm-hmm. So here we are back in Pittsfield.
So have you ever done your genealogy? Do you know, like, your roots and all of that? Is that even something that interests you?
I have not done it. My sister has recently, which has really piqued my interest. So I actually have just applied for a kit. So,
oh, yeah. If you don't mind me asking, have you had any surprises?
Well, you know, we've learned, my sister has learned of actually several family members that live close, some close right over the border in Vermont, some in New York. And my mom also did a genealogy about 2 years back and learned of a sister.
Oh, wow.
And now they met and they've really hit it off and now have a great relationship. So,
wow. Yeah. That's like the quintessential story when you hear about people talk about genealogy and all those kids, they find out things, and most times it's good, happy news, like the news that you're sharing. Sometimes you do find out some other things too that are truly, truly surprising and maybe earth-shattering, but it seems like in your case that it really is positive and that you're meeting family members that you didn't know you had, and that's good. Did you grow up in a big family?
My family's very large. My mother has 8 siblings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just my mom's side of the family is pretty large and extensive. Yeah.
What were the holidays like then?
Growing up as a child, we had very, very large family gatherings, loud, large, you almost got swallowed up in it. 30, 40 people.
Wow.
All squeezed into my grandmother's house. Yeah.
I love that so much because I only have one brother And so again, for our like extended family gatherings, we had really a smaller nucleus. So every time I hear stories of folks who have these big gatherings, and I can imagine kids running through the rooms and the energy and the adults talking and the laughing, and it paints quite the exciting and inviting picture of family. Did you think that based on your upbringing that you two wanted a big family?
I did,
Okay.
yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And my husband also comes from a pretty large family. They're all in New Jersey, the majority of them. But that was one of the reasons, like I said, that brought us back to the Berkshires was family. When we lived in Florida, although I loved, and that's where we lived down south, I loved Florida. I lived in the Gulf Coast and around Naples, and it was beautiful. But the holidays especially were difficult. The memories of like just coming together, holidays and things like that were so different. As I started to raise my kids in Florida, just the like neighborhoods and things like that were very different too. People were just very kind of to themselves, very different than what I was accustomed to. I was, always accustomed to just being around a lot of people and big groups and things of that nature. And so I really missed my family, and I missed one of the beautiful things about Pittsfield, and I think it's hard for people to appreciate it if you've never left Pittsfield. I hear, a lot of negative comments sometimes about Pittsfield doesn't have a whole lot to offer families and things of that nature. But one of the things I missed the most when we moved away was that sense of community. I remember taking my kids outside to play, and like I said, for the most part, people kind of stay to themselves. And I thought back about my childhood, and I grew up by the Common Park. So the park kind of was our backyard. And our neighbors like knew who we were, knew our parents. We didn't dare misbehave because we knew they would go and let our parents know how we'd been acting. But just that sense of community, I had a hard time finding that living down there. And that was like one of the big reasons of moving back here. I wanted my kids to experience that closeness of community and upbringing that I remembered and cherished. And of course, I didn't always appreciate it, when I was a child, but it was definitely something that was important to me that my children had. And I think part of coming from such a large family is the reason why that was, such an important thing to me.
I think you hit the nail on the head, because it's the what you said is sort of the reason why people who grew up here, they come back. So maybe they lived in Boston or New York, and then they'll come back and say, "But I want to settle down here." And there's something to be said for an environment where it's close-knit, right? It's a city, but not too big. Right. So it's not truly the big city where you can get swallowed up and lost, chewed up and spit out. It's not quite like that, right? You still have the ability to make really formidable connections, and I think the part what you mentioned too about family, as you get older, you appreciate some of the intangibles, right? It's not the things that you can touch, it's the emotional connection. And so you came back after living in Florida, you came back here, and then what? Did you say, "All right, I'm here"? Did you know at that point that you wanted to be a nurse? Like,
I did. And I'll be honest, so I kind of started life off backwards, right? So when I had my children, I did not yet have a college education. And so when my husband and I decided to move back to Pittsfield, we came back with the plan that we were both going to go back to school and finish our education. My husband wanted to finish his engineering degree that he had previously started in New Jersey. And I knew that I wanted to be a nurse. That was always my dream. My mom was a chef growing up for part of my childhood. And then she worked also for the other half of my childhood, worked in healthcare. And my mom has always been a caregiver. So I always admired my mom and looked up to her. She was, you know, very strong woman and just kind of cared for our entire family. I knew that I wanted to be a nurse, and I went to BCC. First I became a respiratory therapist, actually. That was not the plan. But during that time, you know, the nursing program was, they had a very long wait list. And I had already had prereqs done. And already having children and making the time in my life to go back to school, I felt like I've got to seize the opportunity. I have to do something now. I can't wait another year or two to start. So one of my academic advisors told me about respiratory therapy, and I never even heard of it prior to that discussion. So I did my research, and I went to BMC, to Berkshire Medical Center, and I shadowed a respiratory therapist for a couple of shifts, and I absolutely loved it.
What did you love about it? I know nothing about that.
So, you know, I shadowed this person in the ICU. So respiratory therapists, you know, they're known for like doing breathing treatments and, you know, helping people that are having difficulty breathing. They specialize in oxygen devices, airway management, ventilator management, things of that nature. So I got to trail this person in the ICU and to see people at their most critical time in life. And to just be a part of that, their experience, and to, you know, I really, it was just overall, it was a pretty amazing experience. But I noticed, you know, even though it wasn't nursing, there was a lot of components that were similar.
You're still working at the
patient's bedside, you know, giving that compassionate, loving care. And being an intricate part of the healthcare team. You know, so it was an associate's degree. So I dove in, and I graduated, became a respiratory therapist, and I worked in that field for almost 10 years at the
10
hospital.
Years?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And I worked all over the hospital, from mother baby to the ICU to the emergency room. And then I decided, you know, as much as I love this, there was, I just didn't feel fulfilled, and decided it's time to go back. So I went back to BCC, and I finished. I got into the nursing program right away, and, you know, I finished my degree. And so the rest is history in terms of, you know, nursing.
Now, I have to ask about that, because you also had your little ones, your kids, right? How was that, the balance of balancing your studies as well as having a family? Because it's different when you are by yourself and you only have to think about yourself and that's it, right? It's different when you are responsible for other people and you have a husband and you have children. What was that like for you?
It was, you're right. It was absolutely challenging, because my kids were, they were young. They were, you know, adolescents, and, but I had the support of my husband. But he was also in school. So we both worked. We were both full-time students. We both worked full-time, and we were full-time parents.
Oh my gosh.
you know, it was a lot of work, and you know, we had to be very intentional about how we spent our time. But, you know, with his support and the support of my family. My mom and dad helped out a lot with like babysitting and things of that nature.
I was going to say, I almost forgot about that big extended family, the benefits of that. Right. I mean, you can't overestimate just how beneficial that is. I say that as someone who where we've lived, we've never had our family around us, and they've always had to travel to see us. And so it was always something that I truly cherish, you know, just having grandma or grandpa come over to, that wasn't happening. It was like a coordinated effort, you know, to actually, okay, we're going to drive up at this time and all of that and, or stay over or do something like that. So I think it definitely, whether you, you know, whether you have your folks nearby or, you know, they're farther away, either way, you still have to sort of have that intention and have that drive and that focus to get it done, because anything can throw you off.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so, there definitely were challenges along the way. So
I can imagine. Mm-hmm. I can definitely imagine. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart. And I often think about the nursing profession. You really have to go into it because you love people. You should. Let me rephrase that. You should go into it because you love people, because to your point, you see people at their lowest, their most vulnerable, and they are counting on the medical professionals around them to support them and to help them. And so I have to, that love that you had, tell me a little bit about, once you were pinned, once you became a nurse and had all of the credentials to your name, what was it like to finally step into your dream after you had worked so hard for it?
It was a wonderful feeling. And like you said, Roberta, it's a privilege to be able to step into somebody's life during that critical time. And be a part of their experience. But it was a very fulfilling feeling. You know, it's important to me as a person to know that somehow each and every day, my existence, me getting up in the morning, there's some purpose attached to it. And I think we're all like that in some way, right? But I get I have a great sense of pride and, you know, just being able to make a contribution to somebody else's life.
Yes. Yeah. You know, Pastor Connie, tell me how long you've been a nurse. How many years now?
For 7 years.
7 years. Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, there's a lot has happened in 7 years. Because in addition to being a nurse, at some point, you also were called to the ministry.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that when we get back. We're going to take a quick 30-second break, and then we're going to return.
Pittsfield Community Radio. 89.7 WTBR-FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Missed an episode of your favorite show? Have no fear, because we have podcasts. Type in WTBRFM.com/podcast on your favorite browser and search for your favorite show. It's that simple.
PCTV Select is now available on so many platforms. You can get it with any device you have available, all free to download and use. If you're watching at home, use your Roku, Amazon, Fire TV, or Apple TV device, or even your computer, and see programming in full HD quality. Watching on the go? Download PCTV Select from the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store for your smartphone. It's that easy and free. PCTV Select is everywhere you need to be.
It feels like nobody can agree on anything anymore, but disagreements lead to compromise, and Compromise leads to progress, and that's the way we accomplish important things in a democracy. Luckily, we have PCTV's coverage of our local meetings, and we can see for ourselves the issues that are in front of us. We can watch our elected officials decide how to solve problems, and that service must have support to survive. Because if there's one thing we can agree on, it's PCTV's reliable coverage. PCTV, support transparency.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
Radio for people who used to love radio. Welcome back. WTBR.
Okay, for my listeners just tuning in, my guest today is Pastor Connie Harris of Price Memorial AME Zion Church in Pittsfield. And we're just talking a little bit about her call into the ministry because she wasn't always a pastor. She actually... her profession is a registered nurse by trade, and simultaneous to her profession, at some point, she was called into the ministry. And so I have to ask, you are the pastor of a church. Do you ever sit down and just think to yourself, I'm a pastor?
I have. I've sat recently and had that reflection of how did I get here? How did I get here? Because it's not anything that I ever dreamt of doing, right? I never had the desire, nor did I ever think that God would use me in such a way. Mm-hmm. I think back, 15 years or so ago when my family joined Price Memorial. Interestingly enough, I'm pastoring my home church, which is rare. But there's some benefits and there's some cons to that as well. But it's a privilege to serve people, though, that I know very, very well.
So
15 years ago, my family came to this church and this church welcomed us with open arms. We immediately felt loved and we felt like we belonged and we felt like family. Mm-hmm. Our pastor at the time, Reverend Alfred Johnson, him and his wife, they were an amazing couple in the ministry. They were the type of people, they loved God, but they were not afraid to roll up their sleeves and do the work. And I mean the physical work, like building repairs and cleaning and snow removal, whatever it took, whatever the church needed. And my husband and I, grew pretty close with that couple. I had the, opportunity to go and celebrate with them recently. And we had this conversation, how I really do attribute some of where I'm at today because of our relationship with them. They really modeled for my husband and I what it should look like, a couple mm-hmm. in ministry. Mm-hmm. So not only did I end up feeling called to the ministry and am now pastoring, but my husband also ended up in the ministry track. So just kind of watching them model ministry really helped me look at my relationship with God differently.
Okay.
And the more that I served God, you know, the more that I served the church, the more I found myself engrossed in the work. And, you know, Roberta, I know that you know as being a member of this church
as well. Yes, I have full disclosure.
You know, I held a lot of different positions in the church. Yeah. You know, I assisted the pastor in a lot of different things. I worked in Christian education. And then the finances, wherever there was a need, I was happy to serve. What I did not realize, though, was, you know, God was using all of that experience and all of those years of service to mold and shape me into this position that I'm in today. But, you know, several years into serving, I really just had this pull on my life that God was requiring more from me. There was another level of service.
When you say the pull, I want to unpack that a little bit. What does that mean? Does it mean waking up in the middle of the night and feeling an urge? Does it mean hearing God's voice? What did that mean for you?
Well, a little bit of both, actually, you know. So, you know, hearing God through a lot of different ways, through different people and different experiences, really kind of urging me to go a little bit deeper, to sacrifice more. It's kind of hard to explain. And there were a lot of nights where I remember waking up and just really being drawn to my Bible and reading scripture. And, you know, I'll never forget the day where I the light bulb finally went off, and other people, you know, had said that they had seen a calling on me and thought that that's what God was calling me to do, that, you know, but when I had this experience where I heard God clearly. You know, calling me to step into ministry. And it was actually a pretty intense and scary moment. At that time, I actually ended up taking a step back. I actually, you know, took a step back from serving.
It scared you that much?
It did. It did. You know, because I just, at that point, really dealt with this really big sense of, like, unworthiness. You know, I did not have a degree in theology, you know, at that point. And I wasn't sure at that point if I even wanted one. And I felt just truly unworthy, you know, like my thoughts and ideas of, you know, we put certain professions, especially clergy, like on a pedestal. And I thought I in no way measure up to something like that. But I had some great mentors during that time, my pastor and some other friends in the ministry. They were really able to mentor me and counsel me and guide me through that.
I never knew that. I never knew that you had an experience that intense. And it's so interesting that you say that, because you, as you're sharing your story, you're recounting with such clarity the voice of God speaking to you. But then you ran and said, no, I don't want this. I think about all those, you know, all those folks who heard from God and said, I don't want this either. I'm going to run in the other direction. And I think that, you know, what you're sharing is the humanity of it all, because you're reconciling two things here. The future you, where you are in that moment, and you are being called to not believe in what you just saw, but believe in that future you. And it was so powerful of a vision that you can even entertain the thought of the future you. I remember when you joined Price. I remember when you and Reverend Don joined Price. And I remember it's going back to the time I'm like, knowing that you would be our future pastor. I go back in reverse. I sometimes think about that. And it's such an amazing thing, because it's also a reminder that you never know where people will go in life.
Absolutely.
You know, it's important to treat people well. And you don't treat people well, not because you want to get something out of, that's not what you do, but you just never know who you encounter.
Absolutely.
You never know who you encounter. And it's a lesson to treat all people well, you know? So you're the pastor and you've been at the helm of this ship for a while. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, you have made a priority, the community collaborations, really reaching out into the community, having services in the park, being able to be with other churches, and everyone coming together. But I would have to say that one of your signature initiatives really has been the Feed Thy Neighbor food program, which started back at the former location, right, on Linden Street. Talk a little bit about that and how that came to be.
Sure. So that ministry started pre-COVID. And actually it was my husband that had the vision for that program. You know, he wanted to do like a brown bag lunch distribution, you know, and his goal was 50 people a month, you know, because, you know, you look around our city, you see there's just so many people in need. And, you know, that's one thing that's important to my husband and I is, you know, helping other people when we see a need. That both of us, that's really important. So he started off with a vision of 50 lunches once a month, and our church rallied behind him, especially our senior saints, our elderly population. They absolutely were amazing. They caught the vision right away. We had plenty of volunteers, mostly church membership though. And we were successful at putting out that 50 that first month. And people were so excited to see the impact. And at that time, you know, we had people coming into the church. We were also offering, like we did a clothing drive and some personal supplies, personal hygiene supplies and things of that nature. And, you know, people had come in and they were very grateful, and expressed their gratitude. And I think, some of the church members and just seeing the impact that they had, it really gave them some momentum to be committed. And they asked my husband, well, why are we doing this once a month? Can't we do this every Saturday? And he's like, well, if you all are willing to be here, let's do it. And even till this day, you know, we're several years later, primarily, this ministry is run financially off of the membership of the church. We have had some amazing community partners over the years. Guido's once a year, they do a roundup during the holidays, and that roundup at the register over the holiday months gets split between a couple of different food ministries. And so they've supported us, and Berkshire Bounty supports us with eggs every week. Especially now, that's such a blessing.
Oh my God.
It's hard to get eggs, but I will tell you, these organizations have been wonderful in ensuring that we get eggs to help our community members that are most in need.
That's huge.
So we went very quickly from 50 a month to 400 every Saturday.
And with some of the meals, is it that people are walking in? Is there delivery to centers and places where people might be congregating?
Sure. Yeah. So, you know, pre-COVID, we had people coming in and we were also delivering. So once COVID happened, we started with a grab and go station outside of the church. And that was primarily how we served the community. But then we increased our deliveries to like senior housing. And we still do that to different areas around the city where people congregate. We bring food to. And so now that things are a little bit safer to gather, we do have people come in, but we still go with the grab and go method. That's been the most successful.
Yeah.
You know, the biggest challenge we're having right now, you know, because we are in a new facility. Mm-hmm. At a new address, letting people know that we are still here, you right. know, that we are still giving out food at 27 East Street instead of 163 Linden Street. And we have different agencies, RLC that we partner with, some people in our Hispanic community. Mm-hmm. That we give some lunches to, and they distribute to people that they know. So we have a lot of community partners that help us to distribute the food now.
And that and it again it speaks to, you know, it's love in action, right? It's that manifestation of love and helping people, and you know, it's showing God's love to people, you know, to everyone. And I think that, you know, before someone can hear you, if they have actual physical needs that need to be met, it's really important that, you know, people are able to have those needs met before they can even hear anything, right?
Absolutely.
Because that's just a human experience. But Pastor, you mentioned something that I think I don't want to skip over it. And I'm so cognizant of our time too. I want to make sure I get in all my questions. I had so many questions for you, but you mentioned the change in address, and I don't want to like skip over that because this is a huge deal for Price Memorial, because in June of 2023, our old church had a fire.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, lightning struck the steeple. I mean, how
it was so bizarre.
Mm-hmm. It was so bizarre and struck the steeple, and then a fire broke out and it rendered the church unusable.
Absolutely.
And I think the hardest thing about that fire and when it happened was that I felt like we had been in a groove. I mm-hmm. felt like there was such a flow going on, and suddenly we have this fire, mm-hmm. and it disrupts everything. And I went back to a news article that you were quoted in, and you said, it may be a distraction, but we're going to continue to do the work.
Mm-hmm.
And we're now in a new location. I just have to say a lot of work has happened, obviously. We are in a new building, and that didn't just happen. It happened because there was a lot of intention, a lot was going on. Can you just briefly talk a little bit about how we ended up in that church?
Sure.
That building.
Yeah, sure. So just so your quote that you, the quote that you just mentioned, Roberta, I remember that conversation. What I meant by that, because we were actually talking about the Feed Thy Neighbor ministry and mm-hmm. some of the other ministries we had going on, that we, because somebody asked, what are you guys going to do come Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
And we were prepared regardless of where we were going to set up shop. We were going to figure it out, but we were going to continue to have, to do the ministry that we feel called to do. So we never missed a Saturday in our Feed Thy Neighbor outreach. Our friends down the road at the Christian Center actually opened their doors to us and allowed us some space to operate until we secured another space. But yeah, so as, you know, as the information came in on the severity of damage, most of it was water damage. There was some fire damage, but most of it was water damage. But as the information came in, and we learned of, you know, some code upgrades, you know, becoming handicap accessible and things of that nature, it became clear very quickly that it was just going to not be feasible for us to re-enter, reoccupy our old building, which was heartbreaking for many people, including myself. There's a lot of community ties to that church, especially for the people of the west side of Pittsfield. You know, but 2 days after the fire, Reverend Mike Denton of UCC, United Church of Christ, which was First Church, First Congregational Church at that time, reached out to us and let us know that they had an empty building and invited us to come and utilize it. So, you know, we came and we started to use the space that following Sunday. And, you know, God opened up so many doors to go forward and unfortunately none to go backwards, meaning to go back into our old facility.
Yeah.
But there was just so many amazing things that were orchestrated, that, you know, made us believe that God wanted us to pursue moving into this empty church. And, you know, one of the things that God just continued to echo and still does is, you know, too much is given, much is required, you know, that, you know, I believe we're here in this new facility because, you know, we always wanted to expand our ministry. But we were kind of confined in a smaller space. It was a much smaller building with really only one primary room to really, you know, outside of the sanctuary to do anything.
Right.
So moving into this new building has really allowed us to expand ministry.
Right.
Which is very exciting. You know, we've got some new ministries up and running, and we have several cooking on the back burner. We're getting ready to launch very soon.
I was going to ask you, are there any teasers that you can share? And if not, it's okay. I know sometimes some things have to continue to percolate a little bit, but is there anything that you want to just put out there?
Sure. Well, one of the things we did actually start to do at our old location, but only for a short time, is our health and wellness ministry. So we are in the midst of organizing and launching our health and wellness ministry from this location. Right now, we definitely know that we plan on offering free blood pressure readings every Saturday during our Feed Thy Neighbor feeding ministry, and monthly we'll have different health initiatives, some diabetes education, nutrition counseling, things of that nature.
Right. I love it. I know that
the nurse of me is very, very excited, you know.
I was going to say, I am sure there's just like, you know, part of you is just jumping, you know, jumping for joy. And obviously, I mean, you're actually covering all areas of the holistic person, right? That holistic sense of well-being inside and out. And I think that, you know, there is a tremendous amount of space in that building. And, you know, one of the things I'm excited about is just seeing how each room will be filled. And how there will be that bustling energy and excitement of just, people just really busy doing the work, right? Mm-hmm. Doing God's work and really helping our community. So, you know, I think that there's a lot in store. And if people want to stay connected to everything that Price is doing, where should they go? What's the best way? I mean, I know there's a website, there's a Facebook page, but I feel like you may have a preferred channel for people to tune in.
So right now, I would say Facebook.
Facebook. Okay.
And it's Price Memorial, one word, Price Memorial, and then AME Zion Church. That is right now where we're sharing most of what's going on at Price Memorial and the different ministries. We do have a website, but we are in the midst of changing our website platform. So we will be sharing that information on Facebook once we are completely converted over.
Perfect. And since we're winding down, Pastor, I had that question about, I was going to ask you about balance. But
you're going to ask about what? I'm sorry.
Balance and how you balance all your responsibilities. And I don't know if you can say that in like 15 seconds or less. But if you thought of it, when you think about all the things that you do and you think about that idea of balance, what comes to mind? You know, what comes to mind as we close out?
You know, that I really have to be intentional about how I spend my time.
Okay.
You know, because it's easy to get wrapped up in one thing and neglect other important aspects of your life, especially, you know, self-care. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've learned some lessons over the last couple of years. And definitely just to be intentional, be mindful about how I'm spending my time and planning to take time out for myself, time for my family. Because if I just let the day drive me, then I end up neglecting important things.
Right.
Because there's always a work to be done.
Right.
So, yeah, you know, just being intentional about making time for my family, making time mm-hmm. for myself, and, of course, time for my church.
And if you had to choose one word to describe you, what would that be?
Oh, gosh, I'd say busy.
After you just came off and talked about being intentional with all that.
Intentional, yes, but, you know, very busy.
All right. Listen, everyone chooses their word. I cannot, you know, I have no say over your word. And that's your word. And you know what? I feel that and I see it. So it's very true. All right. Well, you know, Pastor Connie, it has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for giving me some, you know, some time in your busy day. I really do appreciate it. Thank you for sharing the story and sharing a peek into your journey and your path and your calling of how you got to be where you're at. And I'm sure there are some folks looking and some little girls looking and some little boys looking too and saying, wow, she's a pastor. I wonder how I can be like her. And I think that's the power in sharing our story, right? We get to inspire those around us. So I just want to thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right, everyone, you've been listening to Backstory. Let's hear it on WTBR-FM Pittsville with Roberta McCulloch-Dews. I hope you have a great day.